Thank you, son. I mustn't have to say you did convince me until we reached the subject. We now have Mr. Danny Boggs, who, for the viewing general, that he will argue for anything, and we will see his results.
Thank you. Actually, what I said was that when Don Lipson informed me that Gordon Tullock, who was supposed to have been in this place, would not be able to appear, and asked me if I would do it and told me the subject, I said, well, that's arguable, which is a lawyer's code phrase, meaning that for a fee, I'll argue it. I will differ from the preceding speakers by trying to relate the subject matter to what's going on here and now. As I have always understood the phrase, as I believe Professor Vandenhuyck said, to amenitize the eschaton is to make it here or occur in this world things properly the concern of the next. And I would believe that, strictly speaking, this denies the possibility of improvement in material or in moral things or the desirability of trying. It's frequently said that man is not perfectible, and this is a proposition taken by the gentleman opposite. Now, the imperfectibility of man can mean two things. It can mean that we will never get 100% perfection, or it can mean that we can't even move from 15% to 17%. And I think that we can, and that we can and should try. Another example of the point of view opposite, when the war on poverty was announced, I think it was opposed by the non-immunitizers on the grounds that the Bible says that the poor we shall have with us always. Now, that's not the reason I opposed it. I opposed it because it wouldn't work, because it was antithetical to human freedom in many ways. But the fact that poverty is measured in certain ways has diminished, let's say, from 50% in 1920 to 11% today, I see no clouds of Gnosticism gathering around us because of that. I think it's a desirable goal and should be carried on. Similarly, it's frequently said that the eschaton cannot be amenitized because of the original sin of man. And the Bible certainly tells us at the time of the expulsion that by the sweat of thy brow shall thou eat bread, in sorrow bring forth children. Now, personally, I have not sweated earning my bread for some years, and I suspect that most of the assembled have not either, and I don't find that an undesirable effect. And certainly, if through anesthesia or Lamaze we have lessened the sorrow of childbirth, I don't believe that's evil or heretical either. I've been asked, as a condition of speaking, to plug Professor Vandenhuyck's book. It is concerned... It too is concerned with an aspect of the next world, the punishing of those who have sinned. That's what's going to occur in hell in the next world. Well, I think that by attempting to carry this out in this world as well, we're not committing anything evil or heretical. Irving Kristol, in an article on equality that appeared in Commentary some time back, referred to the bourgeois notion of the common good as opposed to what he took to be the eschatological. Defining the common good as a certain modicum of personal security under the law, of personal liberty, and of increasing material prosperity. Now, in the next world, we presume these will all be provided. It's a place of perfect liberty, of perfect security, and of material possessions being unneeded or supplied. And yet, our moving toward that, of our attempting to bring this into being here, I don't think that that's evil or heretical. I think that's what every man tries to do for himself and his family, and I think that to say that we shouldn't try to do this and leave it all to faith in the next world is to justify Archie Bunker's definition of faith, which is that faith is believing something that nobody in his right mind would believe. I would say that Mr. Peary began with the 18th century, but I'll even take it up into the 19th, that the immigrants who came to America thought that they were coming, if not to heaven on earth, but to something that was better than what they had come from. And I think they were right. And I think that that justifies the effort to continue to move in that direction. I would note Ambrose Bierce defined a liberal conservative as one who is enamored of existing evils as opposed to a liberal who wishes to exchange them for new ones. Now, that's a good slap at liberals, and I've used it consistently myself. But it's also a slap at conservatives to the extent that we take a pride in existing evils and an unwillingness to try to improve. I would conclude, as I see Professor Vandenhuyck is staring at his watch, by making one final point. I was wearing one of these little buttons which were given out at the beginning of the debate, some considered in hostility to our side, saying, don't let them amenitize the eschaton, and Mr. Evans suggested that indicated that I was on his side. I suggest to you that I think that this suggests exactly the point, that what is wrong with the liberal statist conception of the manatees and the eschaton is that it leads to an end to history when they make their improvement, that they believe that when the right ideas come in, backed by force, as in the Marxist analysis, then the change, the effort ends, history has ended. I think that the effort itself is not evil. What is evil is having them emanatize the eschaton rather than our moving to emanatize it in a process moving toward some improvement in human freedom, in human material and moral condition, and I think that that's what this House can and should support.